Okay, it's 9 o'clock. Let's see here, let me pull up my agenda real quick. Come on, agenda. Please start. Okay. Thank you, he's my gavel today. So I would like to call the August 16th Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So, roll call, please.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
Here.
Commissioner Mellow.
Here.
Commissioner Fowle.
Present.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Chair Lidler.
Here.
And absent today, as you guys can tell, is our clerk, Janine. She is out sick for the time being. We are hoping she comes back soon, but it's going to be at least a month.
Yeah.
It'll be a while.
And for those commissioners that weren't here before the meeting started, I'm going to get her a card on behalf of the Planning Commission and make sure the Planning Department can get that to her. So I will do that after the meeting is over. So please give her our best in the interim.
Will do.
Thank you. So approval of minutes from the May 17th, 2023 meeting.
Let the record show I was not present at that meeting.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and move to approve that.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve from Commissioner Fowle. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second from Commissioner Hart. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, no opposed. Motion carries. Excuse me. Allergy season. Okay, so unscheduled appearances. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Are there any unscheduled comments from the audience? Okay, I've seen none. So are there any conflicts of interest that need to be declared on the agendized items today from the commission? Okay, so no conflicts of interest. Okay, presentation of documents. So all items presented to the Planning Commission during a hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of the information of any information presented to the commission should be given to the clerk of the commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the commission at the speaking table, which is here, and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. And then the availability of those public records. So all public records related to an open session on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to the majority of the legislative body, will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Yreka, in 96097, at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All project documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Community Development Department, again at 806 South Main Street in Yreka, and are available for public review. In the agenda, there is the public hearing protocol for those that would like to reference it. And then, let's see, the right of appeal statements. So projects heard at this planning commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following day, or the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with an appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Are there any agendized items that need to be changed or items to be continued?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. So with that, we'll move on to new business. Agenda item one is the Block Skelton Boundary Line Adjustment, BLA-23-05. Staff report, please.
Thank you. Rachel Jerob, Senior Planner. Clay Skelton has proposed to merge two existing parcels in the Mount Shasta-McLeod subdivision, which is also known as the McLeod Forest subdivision, the Mount Shasta Forest subdivision, resulting in one 5.01 acre parcel. This boundary line adjustment is proposed as a step towards bringing the existing development on the project site into compliance with county code. As the septic system is on a separate legal parcel from the dwellings that it's connected to, it is necessary to merge the two parcels to create a single legal parcel. The standard process for minor boundary line adjustments is review and approval by the planning director. However, as the resultant parcel will have double frontage to both Glacier Drive and Widow Springs Drive, Siskiyou County Code Section 10-4.105.3 requires that the approval authority for this type of the project be the Planning Commission. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area, and the project is exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15305A, as it is a minor boundary line adjustment not resulting in the creation of any new parcels. Environmental Health and CAL FIRE commented on this project as it pertains to their requirements, and no public comments have been received. Should the commission have questions regarding the code enforcement that is ongoing for this project, Code Enforcement Officer Andrea Fox is here today to answer any questions you might have, and staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the Block Skelton boundary line adjustment. There's a suggested motion in the packet.
Thank you. Okay, any commissioner questions at this time? Okay, seeing none, I'll open up the public hearing portion. Are there any project proponents that would like to speak on behalf of this issue? Okay. Thank you. Any project, anybody online that would like to speak? Seeing none.
Please raise your hand if you're online and you would like to speak on this project.
Okay.
Seeing none.
Thank you. And then any project opponents that would like to speak on this project? Okay, I'm seeing none as well. Okay, so with that, I'll close the public hearing portion and bring it back to the commission for discussion. Commissioners? Commissioner Veal? Commissioner Fowle?
Nope.
Commissioner
Yeah, I see
Hart?
The project proponent owns five lots here on this map. Is that correct?
On the map, that is the big one that you
do? Yes.
So the two projects that are the two parcels that are the subject of this are the triangular one and then the rectangular one attaching it. Those are the only two. The other parcels around it are just the surrounding parcels. They are not part of this project.
They're not part of the project, but they're still the same ownership.
Some of them are, some of them aren't.
I'm just looking at the names on
the
map.
Right. I believe that there were some other Skeltons that were not the project proponents that owned property in this area, but I do believe that these two adjacent ones that are shown on this map are owned by the same project proponents.
Okay.
So the only reason we're seeing this is because
I can't
hear you. The only reason we're seeing this is because of the frontage two different
Correct. Ones. It's because it's a double frontage property that is going to be created if you approve this project.
Okay. Commissioner Mello, did you have any questions?
No, but I'm ready to make a motion, if so be the wish.
Okay. Well, Commissioner Harder, did you have any more? Okay. Go ahead, Commissioner Mello.
I move that we adopt Resolution PC 2023-011, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining block skeleton boundary line adjustment BLA-23-05, exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, and approving the project.
Okay, so we have a motion from Commissioner Mello. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
So we have a second from Commissioner Hart. Is this just a regular voice vote?
Yep.
Okay. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. No opposed, so motion carries. Thank you. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. So, this is a short and sweet meeting. There's no other new business. Items for discussion, which is a staff report. Or is there anything from the staff on this issue? The item for discussion is direction and possible action regarding whether or not to continue the remote attendance of Planning Commission meetings through the Zoom access.
Yes, Haley Lane, Planning Director. There's no staff report. We just wanted to bring this back to the commission for discussion because we were, you know, looking back at previous minutes and we didn't find, you know, any consensus. I know we were waiting later in this year to talk about it because mm-hmm. there were some absentees and things like that. So just wanted to bring this forward back for discussion and direction moving
okay.
forward.
Okay. Commissioner Veal, any comments on direction to go with allowing?
Whatever. I isn't it customary that we're going to allow the, are you talking about the online?
The online.
Yeah.
You know, it was.
I have no opinion.
Ambivalent either way.
Right.
I have a question maybe for council. What is, you know, I know there's been some legal stuff back and forth on the ability to do the Zoom. Is that has that been resolved as far as, like, are we allowed to do it? And if so, what is the process for continuance of that?
Well, for public attendance, it remains completely optional to do so by Zoom. Basically, the commission can have three options. One is not to do it at all. Two, the option which I believe the Board of Supervisors is now doing, which is broadcast by Zoom, but not take comments over Zoom. So essentially, Zoom is for broadcasting only.
Hmm.
Or third, do it this way, which is what we're doing now, broadcast by Zoom and receive public comments over the Zoom. So in terms of the public, there's really no particular option you're required to choose or do. For board members, it's much stricter rules, and generally, we either would have to have either a resolution authorizing it, ongoing resolution, and or otherwise we would have to just put a notice in the meeting agenda that the Planning Commissioner would not be attending. And I believe, again, now if that's the case, you would have to allow the public from wherever the commissioner is attending. But I believe today we're more talking about how to treat the public.
Yep, okay. I appreciate the insight, though, into what the county Board of Supervisors is doing. Commissioner Fowle?
I support what the supervisors have done.
Yeah, I do.
Taking the comments back when there was an issue, fine. Issue's gone. Have no problem broadcasting. But if you want to comment and whatnot, get here.
Yep. That's it. I concur with Commissioner Fowle. If I have to be here, they have to be here.
Okay. Commissioner Hart?
I go along with that.
Okay. And I agree with that. I want the public to be able to, you know, see the process and be open, or be made aware, especially for those that live rural, given the geographic size of our county, to be in the know of what's going on. But I do agree with public comment. I think it's better public conversation when it is here in person. Oftentimes we can't properly hear, you know, on the Zoom anyhow. And so I think there's communication lost. So how do we move forward? Is this something that we need to vote on? Is this something we just state as a matter of policy?
Through the chair,
yeah.
Peter King, Community Development Director. Finding the whole conversation here, I just want to clarify Mr. Fowle's comment there. So currently the board is receiving public comment via Zoom. So if you're going to follow the board model specifically, they do receive comment via Zoom. They're given 3 minutes and so forth. If not, fine. Just want to clarify that.
Oh, I thought I understood what Bill said was that the meeting was put out via Zoom, but no comments coming in.
That's what I thought was occurring. But it's certainly, and it nonetheless, it's a possibility that the Zoom could simply be broadcast without.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe to clarify our position is, regardless of what the Board of Supervisors is doing, and I appreciate that clarification, Mr. Dean, is that I think the consensus for us is that we do broadcast it, but limit public comment to in person or written. You know, okay. And so with that, do we need a motion, or how do we make that?
I suppose for formality, make a motion for direction to staff that future agendas include the Zoom will be for broadcast only, not to receive.
Okay. So
okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
If you limit it to broadcast only, is that a good thing or a bad thing, or can we do that?
Well, you can do that, whether it's good or bad. I mean, I think the commission has discussed the positives and weaknesses of that. As Commissioner Fowle and others just stated, the positive. You get to see the people here if they're attending and have to make public comment. I guess the negative is obviously people will have to attend and not be able to comment from far away.
Yeah.
I go back to my statement. If I have to be here, why can't they be here?
Yep.
Through the chair.
Yeah, yes.
We do have an individual online who has commented on this topic in the past. If you would like to open it up for public comment, they would likely wish to speak.
No.
I don't think it's a public hearing per se. I appreciate that, but I would.
They are allowed to comment on with the Brown Act.
Are they? Okay. Well, then let's.
Not technically a public hearing.
Okay. Okay. Well, if they're able to comment, then. If they so choose.
If you would like to comment on this item and you are calling in, please press *9 to raise your hand.
Okay.
This is Ellen Mars, and as many of you, Jeff especially, and Blair Hart know, I attended Planning Commission meetings regularly over the years. The only reason my body isn't in this meeting today is because I have a handicap, and getting in that courthouse is not easy for even a person in a wheelchair, because the sheriffs want to stand you and all this stuff and want you to walk upstairs. Those little steps down there in the lobby. So it has been a godsend to me to be able to comment online, and it will be very difficult for me in the future should I be refrained from doing that. That is my comment. I hope you will take it into consideration. I don't see you folks getting a whole bunch of comments from anybody, but when there is something really important, if you do make this, I would think that you would have some kind of waiver where if there is a thing like the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp, that you could accept online comments. Thank you so much for listening to me. Hi, Tony. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you for that. And that is, you know, something in prior meetings that has been a concern of mine.
Yeah. Isn't there wheelchair access to the...
I don't know.
Yes.
Huh? There's an elevator.
Yes.
But I mean, the steps coming up.
There is a back entrance.
There's a back entrance that's ADA approved.
That is intended for wheelchair access.
Yes.
Okay. So with that, how does the commission want to move forward? Do we have a motion? Do we have further discussion?
I just think we ought to go back to the way it was before COVID.
I would move to direct staff to come to us at the next meeting with a resolution stating that Planning Commission meetings will be broadcast via Zoom, but comments on projects will return to being in person, email, or written comment.
Do we have a motion? Do we have?
Still have the option to write comments.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's always been.
I'll take that as direction to staff. I don't think we need a formal motion. We'll just come back with a resolution. We'll take it as direction.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And then moving on, though, so miscellaneous future meetings. So the next regular meeting of the Planning Commission is scheduled for September 20th at 9 a.m. Is there any correspondence?
Before we get beyond future meetings, confirmation on the joint supervisor commission meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Haley Lane, Planning Director. I was going to address that during staff comments.
Okay.
So there is an upcoming joint Board of Supervisors and Planning Commission meeting regarding the general plan update, August 29th at 9 a.m. I believe Janine had reached out to you all maybe a month or so ago confirming your attendance. I believe all planning commissioners mentioned they will be in attendance. In terms of the Board of Supervisors, all supervisors are available except for Supervisor Halt and Supervisor Valenzuela. They will not be in attendance. So Supervisors Ogren, Kropseff, and Chris will be in attendance. And so the purpose of this meeting, it will be led by the consultants, Mintner and Harnish. And so this is going to be the first meeting of a series of meetings related to the general plan update and our zoning code amendment update. And so this initial meeting will, you know, highlight everything, all the work that's going to be involved, schedule, timeline, deliverables, and things like that. And they will also be asking you all for direction and insight. So it's going to be a workshop type of format.
Yep.
In order to get insight and from you all. And I believe the meeting will be here at the board chambers.
It will be here.
Yes.
That's okay. A regular meeting date, right?
Well, they do meet on Tuesdays, but that was the open Tuesday since it's at the end of the month. So that's why we chose that date.
Okay, so we won't be over planning.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, and I'm working on the agenda worksheet and everything this week. So it will be posted, I believe, next week.
Is this going to be a public comment? Is public going
to
be?
So it's not necessarily a public hearing, but the public will be able to attend. It's a Brown Act meeting, so it is being noticed per Brown Act, so the public obviously is more than welcome to attend.
Yeah, I understand that, but they will not. What I'm at, is this going to be a public hearing?
It is not
no,
a public hearing.
It's going to be a workshop.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then as far as scheduling our time, so 9 a.m. to, is it expected to last all day?
No, so I was speaking with the consultants yesterday. We were thinking like 2-3 hours maybe to okay. Or something like that.
So like 9 to noon-ish?
Yeah, I would schedule for that. And something I also wanted to bring up is during that afternoon of the 29th and then all day on the 30th, we will be with the consultants doing a county tour. So going around and showing them the lay of the land of everything with Siskiyou County. And so I wanted to invite you all, if you wanted to attend for either of those days. As mentioned, right, Supervisor Halt and Supervisor Valenzuela are not going to be attending that portion. So it will be the consultant, staff, and then you know, any commissioners. Obviously it would be two and two from both, right, Planning Commission and the board, if they wanted to attend.
Okay.
So the housing element will also be part of this?
So the housing element is separate, but yes, the housing element is a part of the general plan.
Yes, okay.
And we received a comment letter related to the housing element actually last week from HCD. We have to tidy up a couple more, you know, wordsmithing things, check some boxes, and then that will be going to the board for final adoption after they give us their blessing. So we are in the
Will that happen before or after this meeting?
Probably after.
Thank you. Yeah.
So that date again is the 29th?
29th, yes.
Okay, got it. And I, and Ms. Ling, as far as the times of the field trip, that is like after
right, so
the joint meeting?
You know, probably at 1 o'clock, right, have lunch, one to five or 1 to 4. And then, you know, the following day on Wednesday, it would be, you know, an 8 to 5 or 8 to 4.
Where are you going?
Everywhere. So Rick and I were just talking the other day and trying to come up with a schedule. And so, you know, we were thinking for that half day, South County.
Yeah. What's proposed so far for the half day would be initially you go to Scott Valley, go to that area, over the top, Gazelle Mountain, Hammond Ranch area, South County for that half day. Following day would be the extreme to the county, you know, Happy Camp to the lake, essentially. So, long day, a lot of driving, but that's how I think it's.
That is, if you can get to Happy Camp.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. 96 is closed right now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, pending any.
They aren't going to get it stopped. It's going to have to rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is.
So, yeah, that's our tentative plan.
So, I'm going to put a bug in your ear here.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, starting at 4 o'clock till 11:30 last night, there was a board hearing, the State Water Board, dealing with the Shasta and the Scott River flows.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be an emergency order handed down between now and next year before they've come up with something final, permanent in place for in-stream flow requirements. I'm guessing out of this, and I'm just guessing here, there are going to be some winners and losers out of this process. There are going to be some people who are going to lose their water rights. And so, particularly Scott Valley, because of the general plan's specific area plan in Scott Valley, what kind of an impact is that going to have on that specific plan? And then also, with what you're doing with the rewrite of the general plan, wouldn't surprise me you're going to see an uptick in the next 2 to 5 years of a lot of people coming in here who cannot make a living in agriculture anymore because they've lost their water rights. So, and the only reason I'm saying that, I've just seen what's happened out in my neighborhood, which is Hart Road all the way to the top of the divide at Dietz Road, all the development that's gone in because agricultural properties sold out into subdivisions. So that's going to have a huge impact on the county and water resources with more wells going down. So that's public health. There's a lot of stuff that the county is going to get involved in the next 2 to 5 years in dealing with staff time, tax money spent, rezones. It just goes on and on and on with the impact of what's coming. And I don't know how you're going to address that, but just something to start contemplating in this general plan update and the housing element and where we're going to allow stuff to go and not go.
Well, we can go wherever it wants to go. There's no land use planning going on.
I understand that, but I also understand that go start putting in subdivisions, then people are going to start weighing in on that CEQA process. And I just see lots of lawyers making lots of money over lawsuits, and that's the last thing the county needs. It's called when you prepare the document, and when staff prepares their document, it's critical that you get everything legally correct, because you know the lawsuits are coming. It was a pretty contentious meeting last night. I didn't stay up till 11:30, but my wife and daughter did, and it was pretty wild.
Yeah, so. I watched it. That's why my butt's dragging today.
Did you watch it too, Mr. Fowl?
Mm-hmm. And I don't see Mr. Fowl disagreeing with what I'm saying. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, currently we have limitations on the parcel size because of the Scott Valley land plan. But if this heads the direction I have a fear it's going to head, those parcel limitations are going to be restrictive, and we will be approached to take those limitations to at least equal the general plan. And so forget the 80 acre ag ones, there's going to be a heavy push to take it down to 40s, because without water that land's worthless, and that's the route we're headed.
And this is coming from the water boards.
Yep.
I would like to pick your brain after the meeting. Okay. So on that somber note, are there any other staff comments?
I do have a comment, yes. Mr. Jarrett, Senior Planner. We have had a promotion in our department, and Bernadette Sisson used to be an assistant planner, and unfortunately the name tag that Janine printed for her promotion to associate planner is still back in Janine's desk. So just wanted to make sure you guys knew that Bernadette has been promoted. It's well deserved. Absolutely. Yep. She was already doing the work. So I'm very happy to say that we can compensate her appropriately with her new job.
Great. Thank you, Bernadette. I know working with you, you've been very helpful. So well deserved. Any other comments?
No.
Okay. With that, let's adjourn the meeting.
What about comment?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm going to unadjourn the meeting. So, meeting's still in session.
Okay.
We have commissioner comments. Sorry, it wasn't on my agenda, so I missed that.
Well, I have one that it was a Siskiyou news, and it was about the Siskiyou Asian American community celebrating restored human rights for water. And I wonder if we could have a comment from on that.
I'm sure. We have a couple of lawsuits. One is still ongoing regarding that, and one just settled.
Did you see
that? As part of the settlement, the county had enacted an ordinance that required permitting of water trucks. Water trucks will no longer be required to obtain county permits. That ordinance was appealed. And otherwise, on a very technical note, probably more for lawyers, it was added, it remains a violation of the county code to use water to grow, groundwater to grow illegal cannabis. Now it must be shown that if a person is cited, they did so knowingly, which means that they had knowledge of it. Oftentimes, we get these distant property owners who claim they don't know about cannabis, much less that groundwater was being used. So that little added element of proof was added into the county code that before we can cite someone for using groundwater illegally, we must prove that they had knowledge. So how people wish to characterize those changes as part of that settlement of lawsuit, the water truck non-permitting and the change to the mental state required before you can charge somebody with illegally using cannabis, that's up to them, but that's what happened.
So set aside ethnicity, religion, the individual. Set aside the vegetation being grown. On the Scott River side, it is illegal per the adjudication and per state water code to use groundwater or surface water on a parcel that it's not adjudicated to be used on, period. Where was the state in this?
Well, that's a good question. And I know in terms of illegal cannabis, we certainly would like more state involvement.
Forget the cannabis. If I pump water out of a well on my property, that water cannot leave my property, period. Mm-hmm. It's against the law, state and county in adjudication. Mm-hmm. Is that not the way it is in Shasta Valley? And if it's surface water, it is adjudicated directly to be used on specific acres. And if it's a riparian right, it can only be used on that land that is associated with the creek or the river, period. It's black and white. Doesn't matter what it's growing, it doesn't matter who it is, it's got to stay on the property that the water rights associated with. I mean, a kindergartner gets that. What the hell happened?
Well, those duties and rights and requirements still exist. Nothing has changed in that respect. It was only portions of the county code that changed. And those portions don't speak at all to those issues you just discussed. So
no, but that's where the county screwed up, because they went around trying to do this, that, and the other as opposed to enforce existing law. Water stays on the property. Period. End of conversation.
Did the county just kind of fold the tent up and go home without appealing that lawsuit? I mean, it was just, well, it's easier just to go ahead and rescind the ordinance than to fight it. Is that the position the county took?
Well,
I mean, it doesn't seem like we have these ordinances there out there, and as soon as anybody complains about them, they say, well, yeah, we didn't mean to impose that ordinance upon you. I mean, why do we go through all this with land use planning, and somebody decides not to abide by it, we say, well, that's fine.
I mean, that's a good and hard question. No, it can't be appealed because it's a settled outcome. We can go to trial or contest it. The strengths and minuses were discussed with the board in closed session. Say it was recommended by outside counsel. Part of it is the cost lawsuit. Part of it is whatever financial risk might occur if we lost the lawsuit in terms of awards. And ultimately, it is a trade-off, I suppose, that one might say, in terms of setting a lawsuit that probably was not the most desirable outcome for the Board of Supervisors, I'm sure, but it was what appeared to be reasonable in terms of advice given.
Through the chair.
Yes, Commissioner Mello.
Are these things enforceable?
Is the settlement agreement enforceable?
Anything. When you're dealing with water, are all these ordinances enforceable? Except for the gentleman, like Mr. Fowle says, plays by the rules. Otherwise, no?
Well, they're on the books, they're enforceable, yes.
How?
That's a good question.
Thank you. That's what frustrates me. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to back up from where Mr. Fowle is at. It's just what I know of water law, because I've been dealing with it since I was in college. I actually wrote my senior thesis on water law. Groundwater, what Mr. Fowle says, is governed by what's called conjunctive use. You have a right to use the water that underlies the surface of your property as long as you don't harm your neighbor. I brought this up in the groundwater committee meetings. with Dr. Harder, Dr. Foglia, with the county. What's the groundwater level going to be? As an example, my grandfather drilled some wells in 1950. Water level sits at 50 feet. Used to pump 800 to 900 gallons a minute in September. Now you can't even get a house well in the 1st of April because of what's going on upslope. Jurisdiction of groundwater at this point lies with the Siskiyou County Flood Control District because they took that on because of the groundwater sustainability plans and the act that was passed by the state. So right now the county has jurisdiction. How are they going to address that issue? I have no idea. But Mr. Fowle makes a very valid point in that, all right, if I have a well on this specific parcel, I have the right to use it on that parcel. It's no different than a riparian right. If I take it to another parcel, that then becomes an appropriative right of which you have to go to the State Water Resources Control Board to get an appropriative permit to do that. I don't know of anybody in agriculture out here in the Shasta Valley that has done that. We've had a lot of new wells go in and water going everywhere. And the county's already been taken to task and lost. But at some point, it's all going to come back to not so much the county, but the State Water Board coming in and requiring everybody who's got a well has to do an audit. I've already done one of those in my 1707 process to try and put water back in the river. 2.5 years, $70,000 in legal fees of protests of other farmers out here that didn't think I had the right to put that water back in the river. I understand the process. We went through one of those audits with a third party. It was all approved and accepted by the State Water Resources Control Board. I'm the only landowner in Siskiyou County that has done that per my safe harbor agreement. So back to what I brought up earlier with the meeting that took place last night, that's the only way all this water issue is going to get solved in the Shasta Valley, maybe the Scott Valley, because the only way I see to solve this is a complete adjudication of all water resources in the Shasta Valley, and that is going to mean meters on every well in the Shasta River watershed. Every homeowner is going to have a meter. Yes, they are exempt as long as they don't use 2 acre feet of water. How do we know what they're using? Unless there's a meter there and it's all recorded and reported to the State Water Resources Control Board, which I am doing with my local cooperative solution that I've had in place with the state for 2 years. There's a whole bunch of ag operators in the Scott Valley that have been doing the same thing under local cooperative solutions. It's called collecting data, knowing what you've got. We do not have a water balance in the Shasta Valley. We don't know what's being used and which community's using the most of it. It's just nothing but a good old water fight. And the county's going to get pulled into it at some point down the road to deal with all of this. Mm-hmm. My first question is back to the water trucks and water going everywhere.
Your microphone.
How is it that Crystal Geyser, which owns the plant at Roseburg, down on close to Roseburg down there, where they got the water, they went through a use permit process under CEQA to transport water off-site and sell it. Yet, that's not occurring even right now today. A water truck went right past my house, headed to Willow Creek. So there's kind of a double standard there that I see. Jeff's right, those who comply with the law and want to work with the agencies are the ones being hammered by the agencies, and the agencies not doing their job and going after all this other stuff that's going on. So the county is in a very difficult position because it's not going to be politically doable to demand meters be put on everybody's well so we know what's going on and where it's going on. because this water right thing is not going to be solved other than the state's going to come in and ramp something down, and then those ag users who have senior water rights are going to be put out of business. That's just what's going to happen. And then you're going to have property cut up, which is exactly what they don't want. I've seen it happen in my lifetime. Mount Shasta Vista subdivision. The property owner of that property used to run cattle and sheep out there in the wintertime. And nobody would ever dreamed in 1962, when it got sold to be subdivided, we'd have what we have out there now. Nobody would ever dream of that. We all laughed at it. We all laughed at the Hughes Air West yellow jets that you used to land at Montague Airport, and the fleet of those Gran Torino station wagons in Montague, and they'd fly those two planes in here every weekend selling lots of Chestina. Everybody laughed at it. And now we got almost 3,000 people living out there right now. I know I'm on a rant, so I'll quit.
No, appreciate the insight.
When I mentioned this lawsuit was not water use, it was more discrimination against the Asian community.
No, I, yeah.
And I felt that somehow the county should at least address that this, we're not discriminating against, because you're denying the use of that water on a parcel that is not legally inhabitable, supposed to be inhabitable, that we somehow discriminated against. I think somebody should say that this is what we were doing. But apparently the county, it's easier just to fold up and say we're sorry and rescind.
Every lawsuit that gets taken out of Siskiyou County, the county loses. At least in my watching all of this stuff the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Even the Upper Watershed Group, Safe Harbor Group, a lawsuit got filed, got taken out of county, and the whole thing got thrown out. So what's the incentive to do the right thing? I'm just as lost and exasperated as everybody about all of this.
This is off this subject, but it's no longer a felony now to steal something under $900.
Yep.
Right. Now, what is that? Mm-hmm. What is that created? Right?
That's right.
Think of that. Mm-hmm. You know why? Think of the money.
Inflation.
The county, huh?
Inflation.
No, think of the money.
It's not worth $900 anymore.
Yeah. No, but think of the money that counties, municipalities have saved, not prosecuting.
That's right.
Somebody steal the $300 mm-hmm. chainsaw. Right. It's so much easier just to say, we're sorry. So.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is. Yeah, these water issues are going to continue to come forward. So maybe this planning element, we will be able to share these issues at the joint meeting.
This was one of the things that taking down the dams on the Klamath was brought up long time ago, that the water rights downstream from those, a lot of people are going to lose it because there's not going to be enough water in the river. Now, I got a little note from Mr. LaMoffa the other day, and they did finally settle the water issue out of Klamath Lake in the Klamath Basin. I don't know what that means.
No.
If you don't have enough water, what difference does it make?
They didn't settle anything.
Well, according to the note, it did. I'm only reading what I saw, man.
Well, what I saw last week.
Well,
okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, we could beat this to death for a month and not get anywhere.
Yep. Are there any other commissioner comments before I adjourn? Okay. Well, we will see everybody at the Board of Supervisor joint meeting. I'm tongue-tied today. And I adjourn.